He has risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Our reading for our meditation this morning is our first reading from the book of Acts, as we hear about both Barsabbas and Matthias. Now, the addition of Matthias brings to mind the disciple that he replaced, and we all know who that was: Judas Iscariot. In our reading, Peter calls Judas a guide to those who arrested Jesus. This word guide is used in Psalm 23 of the shepherd. We like Psalm 23. He is one who leads in paths of righteousness, and is also used of Philip, who guides the Ethiopian through the scriptures to Christ in the waters of baptism. But Judas is a guide on an entirely different road. He leads to the way of death. He is a shepherd who leads an innocent lamb to the slaughter. Through Judas, Jesus is handed over to the cross, to the will of sinful men, and to the power of the enemy. In Judas, the devil finds an opportunity to bring violence upon Jesus. And through Judas's mediating work, the devil's will becomes a reality on the earth. Judas is the chosen apostle of Satan. Judas is the minister of murder. We know that. We hear that. When we talk about Judas, we know what that means. We know what he did. We know of his betrayal. However, while in his ministry, in the ministry of death that Judas brings, he is certainly the most notorious. We know that. But we dare not say that he is alone in this endeavor. What do we see from the disciples on the night when Jesus was betrayed? All of those disciples essentially participated in handing Jesus over. Well, Peter, three times, denies even knowing who Jesus is. John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, followed Jesus, but he followed at a distance. But he never once opened his mouth in Jesus' defense. As for the rest of the disciples, they ran for cover when the soldiers appeared. 12 apostles failed in the one responsibility that Jesus demanded of them. When Jesus sent the apostles, the reading tells us that he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God. Yet, on the night when Jesus was betrayed, no one preached. No one opened his mouth that testify to these words concerning Jesus. The apostles were silent. And in their silence, they became tools of darkness. Indeed, the power of darkness has many ministers. And it's easy again for us to point at the apostles and Judas and say how terrible they were and how they didn't do what they should have done. But at the end of the day, we have to look at ourselves as well. The devil needs his own pastors. He needs his own flesh and blood humanity to make his will a reality on this earth. Now, Satan can tempt us, but it's man who sins. Now, the devil can plot. He can plan, but it is through mankind that his evil is executed on this earth. This is the utter tragedy of our sins. Satan's will is done with our own hands. His lies live on our own lips, and his lust finds a dwelling in our hearts. His thoughts inspire our minds and become flesh through the works of our own bodies. In us, the devil finds willing participants for his own ministry. Not very uplifting, is it? Not a joyous thing for us to hear on Mother's Day, and yet it still remains the reality for us. However, it is not the devil's mission to simply manifest his power among men. He must also prevent God from manifesting his power on this earth as well. The devil not only tries to overpower us, but he also tries to overpower God. Satan not only recruits his own ministers, but he also seeks to silence the ministers of God. The devil not only convinces Eve to actively grasp that forbidden fruit and pull it down from that tree and take a bite from it, but he also convinces Adam to stand there in passive silence as Eve does this. The devil not only entices the children of Israel to build a golden calf, but he also persuades Aaron, the priest of God, mind you, to silently do their bidding. Follow along and not say anything. The devil not only leads Judas to betray our Lord with a kiss, but he also convinces the apostles to remain silent for fear of persecution. The devil knows that God's power lies precisely in his word. When our Heavenly Father opens his mouth, light chases away darkness, and life is brought forth out of nothing. Through his word, the life-giving power of the Father finds a dwelling among us. From the beginning, his word has been placed in the mouths of men. At the burning bush, Moses is called to speak. And when he speaks, plagues afflict Egypt. The Red Sea is divided, and Pharaoh's army is drowned in those waters. When Elijah opens his mouth, fire comes down from heaven. The widow's only son is raised from the dead. When Ezekiel preaches, bones come together, flesh is created, and the breath of life fills the lungs of decaying men. And the prophets, God's creative and life-giving will is done on earth as it is in heaven. The prophets were living icons, images of that divine ministry that would make all things new. Yet, that word, who spoke by the prophets, has now become flesh and dwelt among us. In Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Jesus is the true apostle of the Father, the minister of everlasting life. Adam's silence brings death on his children. But the second Jesus comes, the sound of Jesus' voice restores all things. When Jesus opens his mouth, demons are cast out, sins are forgiven, and the dead are raised. As Jesus himself declares, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. What joy we have. Mothers of this congregation and mothers all over the world have made sure that the Word of God has gone forth to their children. I remember my own mother teaching me the small catechism. We all have stories like this. God sends us blessings into this world, mothers being one of those major blessings for each and every one of us. To do what? To do the will of God, to spread His Word. To share that word with the people around us. And it's for this reason that we must rejoice. We must rejoice in the election of Matthias, replaced Judas, one simple truth is now learned by us, that the ministry of Jesus himself will continue here on this earth. We learn that our Lord will not leave his bride, the church, to fend for herself against the powers of darkness. Christ will not stand by in silence. His word will go forth. You speak that word. What does Jesus promise to the apostles? The one who hears you hears me. It's precisely in the apostles that the word of the Father increases. Multiplies. It fills the earth. Matthias is now the instrument of him who created the heavens and the earth. The words of Matthias are the words of Christ himself, his voice. The almighty voice of the Son of God is heard by dying men. His ministry bears the real presence of Jesus in flesh and blood. Thus, as we see the real presence of sin, death, and the devil and even hell itself manifested all around us, we must give thanks to God for Matthias, the apostles, all the ministers in this earth, for parents, especially to our mothers, as the word of God comes forth. For it is in this ministry, it is in the power of Christ to forgive sins, to conquer the devil, to raise the dead. Becomes a reality for us in this earth. It's not enough for our salvation for Jesus to die and rise again. It's not enough for our salvation for Jesus to live a perfect life and receive all power and glory to all the Father's right hand. He could have done that. We might not know anything about that here in the year 2018. The Word of God had not gone forth. If Jesus' life, death, and resurrection and ascension are to have any means, any meaning for us, then Jesus must call Matthias so the Word of God can go forth. He must send forth His Spirit, as we will hear next Sunday. He must establish the ministry of the one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. In this apostolic church, Christ's life becomes our life. His death becomes our freedom from sin. His resurrection becomes our victory, and His ascension becomes our sure and certain hope. Matthias brings to mind the one he replaces, Judas. Judas is the minister of death, but Matthias is divinely elected to be the minister of eternal life. Through Judas, the Lamb of God was led to slaughter by men of evil intent, but through Matthias, the apostle, and their successors, the Lamb of God continues to be handed over into our hands. For the election of Matthias and all pastors, we must give thanks, for it means that Christ is not silent to us, that He still loves us and cares about us, even in the midst of our sins. It means that our Father has chosen to open His mouth. It means that the Word of God descends to enter our ears, to inspire our minds, to move our hearts, and to fill our flesh with His Spirit. Jesus' election of Matthias means that Jesus' own ministry of life will continue until the end of the age. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Christ has risen.
He has risen indeed. Hallelujah.